So it's now late Tuesday night. Obviously, it's a little quieter than the normal Sfas HaMasher. It's actually very late, a very busy day tomorrow. And I just wanted to continue the series of preparation for Pesach and to maintain the minhag. The minhag is every Wednesday after davening, I give a shiur on Sfas HaMasher in Yeshiva. Obviously, I'd like to talk a little bit about Sfas HaMasher on Pesach. We'll have to wait for Sfas HaMasher and Parshas Metzorah for a different time, maybe when Metzorah is after Pesach. What can I say? The Sfas HaMasher on Pesach is overwhelming. I mean, there's Sfas HaMasher on Shmos, Va'era, Bo, B'Shalach, obviously. There's a huge section. How many pages? I'm opening my Sfas HaMasher now. It's got to be 20 or 30 pages just on Shabbos HaGadol and Pesach, more. It goes all the way till the English numbers. It's about 60 pages, 70 pages, 80 pages, even more, Shabbos HaGadol. Depending on how big your Sfas HaMasher version is. So I'll try to stick to a few Sfas HaMasher that are both characteristic of Hasidus in general, as I've mentioned, but also surrounding some of the sections I've been discussing in Haggadah, in particular Tzeir Lamad. Those four psukim, which I keep stressing, are really the heart and soul of the Haggadah. And unfortunately, we get so excited by the beginning of the Haggadah, which is just the introduction. We don't get around to the heart and soul of the story. I'll try to talk about it a little bit with an accent on Galus. Remember, Chassidus is an answer to Galus, is an answer to suffering, reframes suffering. And if there's one common theme to much of what I'll discuss in this short share, is that there's a, as we would say, to use it in modern jargon, there's a silver lining to every Galus. And the fact that we're in Galus provides us with what I would call national resources, national assets, national capacities, national facilities that we wouldn't have otherwise achieved, which is an extremely, I would say, provocative notion. I've spoken a lot about how Galus is not a punishment, it's plan B to reach the same goal, the same national mission of educating the world and teaching them about Dvar Hashem. But in my mind, it's a more tortured and injured way to get to the finish line of history. And of course, it elicits heroism, and that heroism on the part of the Jewish people serves as our collective merit in history, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us for that. But it's not as if plan A without Galus would have been deficient, or we wouldn't have achieved. We could have achieved everything we've achieved by staying in Eretz Yisrael, building our people, our national sovereignty, our monarchy. But a lot of the themes of some of these Sfas HaMasher that I'll quote tonight, I'll try to quote where they are so that you'll be able to look them up if I get a chance. I don't think tonight I'll try to actually include the sources. Well, this was necessary for us to achieve. This was necessary for us to achieve. And for the Sfas HaMasher, that's why two of the psukim of Arami Ovid Avi, at least probably two and a half, I would say, are describing scenes of Galus that are torturous, that are persecution, that are dark. Now, the non-Sfas HaMasher solution to that is, in general, Maschol Beginos Mesayim Beshvach, we can only appreciate the Geula if we tell the story of our descent, of our Shibud, if we just pick up with Leil Yitzias Mitzrayim, we just pick up with our redemption, and it's no big shakes. But if we suffer through the misery and the anguish and the sorrow of the Shibud Mitzrayim, Maschol Beginos, then the Shvach is much deeper. But for the Sfas HaMasher, that doesn't justify the inclusion of all these negative psukim describing the horrors of our persecution in Mitzrayim. Evidently, there's some hidden meaning that each of these produced, not just a silver lining, but unleashed and capacitated and empowered us in a certain way that we wouldn't have otherwise. So let's discuss some of them. There's just, again, every time I think about discussing it, there's just so much to think about and so much to say. So, for example, when we say in the beginning of the Haggadah, and now I'm quoting from his section on Pesach, from Taf Reish Samach, begins with the word Vayihi. So, the Haggadah describes that Yaakov Avinu went to Mitzrayim, and we were a goy, Vahisham legoy, Shayusha Mitzuyanim Sham, we were different, distinct, nationally identified, we would use the word culturally insular, because of our dress, because of our name, because of our location, because of our geography in Goshen. For the Sfas HaMasher, this is Hashem's chesed. and the mechanism by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected our cultural insularity was the Kosh Yashibur. Al zeh haya Kosh Yashibur kidei shelo yitamu b'hem. We shouldn't become too assimilated. And, of course, the Gemara and Megillah, Vayihi is always a lashon of tsar. There's always some misfortune. Vayihi b'mei Achashverosh being the most famous one. Well, Vayihi sham l'goy, which is the pasuk in Kisavo, which the Haggadah interprets as describing or portraying our cultural insularity, Vahisham Lagai Milami Shahu Yisom Mitsoyanim Sham. Well, if our cultural insularity is introduced by the word Vahi, then it must have been affected and enabled by Tzara and the Kosh Yashibud. And again, I'll read the language. Shakol Hayisurim Hayu Kideshayu Mitsuyanim Sham Velo Yitam Ubahem. So the suffering was to protect our cultural insularity. Read another section, which is somewhat similar. This is now from Parsha Shmos, Taf Reish Lamed Dalad, Dibur Maschol V'Chasher, V'Chasher Yanu Oso, Ken Yerbe V'Chen Yefrotz. This is another pasuk which we allude to. It's actually not even quoted in the Haggadah, but it's a pasuk in Shmos, which comes right after a pasuk we quote in the Haggadah. In the Haggadah, we speak of Vayaver San HaMitzvim, let's make a plan, Paro says, pen your bear, maybe they'll become too great, too many Jews. The next pasuk is, kasher yanu oso, ken yibar v'chen yifrotz. I'll get back to that pasuk later. But in the section in Shmos, Tafresh Lamedal, Vesvas Emeson, Parsha Shmos, avoda hakasha hayelitova, kidei shelo yisarvu b'nei Yisrael b'umos, that we shouldn't become too assimilated, too incorporated, too similar to our surrounding nations and lose our identity, our holiness, our sanctity. He quotes the pasuk in Tehillim Kofek. Tehillim Kofek is a bit of a review of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Hafach libam lisno oso, lisno amo Hashem, converted the hearts of the Egyptians to hate us. Tehillim Kofek Chafek, pasuk Chafek. Now, again, you and I would say, well, Tehillim is describing both ends of the spectrum, the suffering and the redemption. In the Sfas Emes' perspective, why would David HaMelech be discussing something that was so dark and so sinister? Evidently, he's praising Hashem for making the Egyptians hate us because the hatred preserved our cultural insularity. So it's very similar to the piece I read a moment ago. And now in this piece, in Shmos Tafresh Lamedalid, he courts a very provocative idea that emerges in many Hasidus, and in some Hasidus even more radical. But what does it mean that Hashem made the Egyptians hate us? Does that imply that on their own they may not have hated us? But Hashem just introduced hatred into their hearts because Hashem had some larger plan that the hatred would preserve our cultural insularity. And of course, the Sfas Emes says that. V'gam ha-mitzriyim lo ratzu lios sonim. They didn't want to hate us. Ki adu zeh gam kein. And that's why the whole Shibud began with Perach or Perach. There was, let's join together, let's build Egyptian cities, let's build the Egyptian economy. Because the Egyptians saw us as allies, they saw us as friends, but Hashem introduced poison and hatred into their heart for some larger divine hashgacha goal. And this is where Chassidus starts to blur the boundary between HaKadosh Baruch Hu's larger hashgacha and human free will. We believe that Hashem has larger hashgacha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu supervises everything about this world, history, politics, the larger issues, but on a small scale, He gave us freedom of choice. Now, when we make our decisions, Hashem, as it were, adapts to our decisions because His algorithms are inevitable. So Mashiach will come. Our decisions can either accelerate it or decelerate it. But Mashiach is the larger algorithm, which Hashem supervises. But in Chassidus, and you see this in the Meshulach also, if Hashem is everywhere and Hashem suffuses all of reality, then of course He makes decisions also. Hashem made decisions for the Egyptians, which shouldn't really surprise you that much, because that's latent in the description. Hashem was Chbidus Libav, V'chazek Hashem Eslev Mitzrayim. Again, we would take it to mean that they already were trending, as we would say, in that direction. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just removed some of the obstacles, as the Ramban says, but for the Sfas Emes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually converts their would-be allegiance to the Jewish people into hatred in order that we should preserve our own identity. Kasher ya'anu oso, ken yibrev v'chen yifrotz. That's how he interprets the pasuk. That the Inui allowed us to retain our identity, which, of course, allowed us to leave Mitzrayim and to receive all the miracles and the Nisim. Remaining on that pasuk, because it's an interesting pasuk, because it sounds like it's a Lashon Asid, Kasher Yanu, so, Ken Yirbe V'Chen Yifrotz. They will become multiplied, and they will spread their wings, as we would say, Yifrotz, and they will be successful. It's a very, very strange language. Why is it Lashon Asid? It should be Kasher Inu Oso Kein Ravau Chein Paratz. Sounds like it should be the narrator speaking about what happened, recording a historical event. We were persecuted. We did multiply, grow, augment, spread. Kasher Inu Oso Kein Ravu V'chein Partsu. Why is it Kein Yerbe V'chein Yifrotz? So again, the way I would read it is the future language suggests that there's a prophecy here. So it's a prophetic voice, not the voice of the narrator. The narrator would say, what happened? The voice of prophecy would say, not, I'll tell you after the fact what happened, by the way, but while the plans are being hatched, while the conspiracy is being developed and designed, so Ruach HaKodesh says, by the way, Paro, you think it's going to lead to their suppression and their elimination and their liquidation. By the way, it won't. This is what's going to happen in the future. They're going to multiply. So instead of describing this past tense, which would be the narrator telling us what happened 2,000 years ago, we're listening to Ruach HaKodesh countering Paro's plans. You have this very often in Vayeshev, where the brothers scheme and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or the Ruach HaKodesh in the Torah says, V'nirem ma'yuchol ha'masav, you think you're going to shut this down, the dreams will actually materialize. So very often in the Torah, you have a voice, and that voice is a voice of prophecy. Because it's a voice of prophecy slash Ruach HaKodesh, it's a future tending voice. And it's a way for the Torah to tell us that Rabbos machshavos v'lavesh v'atzas Hashem hisakum, that despite whatever human beings plan, the plans are upended, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plans remain in place. So that's how I would read the pasuk. Paro is busy with his summit to deal with the question of the Jews, and Ruach HaKodesh says, oh, you think X, by the way, not X. They're going to be Kein Yerber V'Chein Yifrotz. But for the Sfas Emes, the future tense is not just basically to capture the voice of Ruach HaKodesh, but to indicate that whatever happened in Mitzrayim will happen through all of history. And this is something I deeply, deeply believe in. I've deeply tried to stress throughout all the Shiurim, and not just the Geula, but also the Gullus, that history is cyclical, and what happened before in history creates historical carve-outs, which will happen again. You just have to have the lenses to see through the modern shell and to see the heart of the similarity between current events and between what happened in previous historical moments. Those early historical moments may have been sandals and chariots, and today it's boots and missiles, but it's the same experience. So this is on Shmos Tafresh Mem Aleph, Sfas Emes in his parish on Shmos. Gam haperish al kol galios shecharkach kiyadua, shemitzrayim hayaklal v'shoresh shel kol hagalios, v'chamochein gu'las mitzrayim shoresh l'chol hagu'ulos, k'mo shekasav b'makom acher. And that's why in Davening, Vayotzienu Hashem, Vayotzia Hashem, Vayotzia Samo Yisrael Mitocham, Hashem liberated us from Mitzrayim, L'cheirus Olam, for eternal freedom, for eternal liberty. And in this same piece, and I'm just going to really, really summarize this piece, because it's a very lengthy piece, he says, wait a second, in the late 19th century, which is more or less when he's writing this piece, we're not really in a state of cheirus. After all, we're enslaved, not enslaved, we're in ghettos, we are living in poverty, we're living under 1,800 years of persecution. So Cheres Olam has to be defined not as political liberty or national sovereignty, but based on supernatural experience. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, he delivered the Torah. Delivering the Torah was not just delivering the will of Hashem to his people, but upgrading us to live in a supernatural environment, because we're living a life of Hashem. We're not eating everything. Our lives are regulated by the divine will. And because we're living l'mala me'ateva, so despite what may be happening to us on the political field, on the military field, on the economic field, on the personal field, we're living a life of l'mala me'ateva, and that is the cheres olam, that v'yotze es amo yisrael mitocham l'cheres olam. So kasher ya'anu oso, as they tortured us, kein yirbe v'chein yifrotz, the Lashon Asid, the future term, is to indicate that what happened in Mitzrayim will happen again. Okay, I see the shiur is taking a little longer than I expected, so I'll just share one more piece, because again, it's a very, very characteristic piece. So far, we spoke about the Shibud protecting our cultural insularity, the Yisurim protecting our cultural insularity, and of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu converting the Egyptian hearts to hate us from hearts which would otherwise feel an affinity towards us. The second piece is Kasher Yanur Zoken Yerbe V'chein Yifrotz. Mitzrayim is a carve-out for the future, and Mitzrayim created a form of freedom and liberty that allows us to remain free despite the tortured fluctuations of history. And I want to talk about a piece also from Shmos, Tuf Reish Mem, because again, there's so much Shvat Emes just on Parsha Shmos that is relevant to Yitzias Mitzrayim. And it's relevant to the Haggadah. What happens is as follows. In the Haggadah, a part that I didn't yet speak about, if you're listening to this year, it's in the third Pasuk. We called out to Hashem, but it's Akal Hashem, Vishma Hashem es Kolenu, Vayar es Onyenu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw our suffering. Now, the Haggadah interprets Hashem witnessing our suffering as witnessing the disruption of our marital lives, whether because we were slaves in marital lives in general, or because we worked outside of the environment of the city, we just couldn't make it back in time, our schedules were wrecked, a lot of different reasons, but for whatever reason, at least on paper, we're not meant to continue marital experiences and marital relations, and, as Chazal say in another famous medrash, the heroism of the women who maintain their physical appearance and found ways to maintain marital experiences and to produce the next generation of people that one day would enter Eretz Yisrael, the younger generation. Anyway, the pasuk in Shmos that the Haggadah quotes to suggest that Hashem saw our suffering, our marital suffering, our sexual suffering, Vayar Elokim es b'nei Yisrael, vayede Elokim. For whatever reason, without getting into that now, this very generic pasuk, Hashem saw the Jewish people, and he knew. But because there's nothing in this pasuk that's explicit, we don't like to speak about marital relations in an explicit fashion, Hashem saw something that the pasuk doesn't want to elaborate upon because that's not our style of speaking. We don't speak explicitly. For the Sfas Emes, the end of that pasuk, Vayar Elokim es b'nei Yisrael, Hashem saw Vayeda Elokim Hashem knew, means something entirely different. Hashem knows something, not that other people didn't know because it's private, but that even we didn't know ourselves. Well, how could Hashem know something we don't know about ourselves? The answer is because sometimes there is a desire and a will and a level of interest, and called in Hebrew, a Ratzon HaPnimi HaYisodi, that we don't even know exists, but it exists, and in the Jewish people, that is always sincerity, integrity, proper desire, desire for Hashem, desire for Kedusha. And this is main street Hasidus. This is mainstream Hasidus that every Jew has a chelek elokam imal. And despite how rebellious, how inattentive, how indifferent, how apathetic, how alienated, it's just external shells. But deep down, every Jewish neshama is still pure, holy, and sacred. And even if you don't know it and see it, it's there. And even if the person himself doesn't know it about himself, Vayeda Elokim, Hashem knows. This is in Shmos, Taf Reish Mem. Shigam Heim Be'atzom Leich Lilhotzi Machshavta Mikoach Lepol. The environment wasn't right for them to express their desire to be Ovdei Hashem. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew. Av Shehaya Libos B'nei Yisrael Tovim, our deep desires were sincere. Lo hayu yichalom levar etzlam p'nei miyusam. We couldn't understand our deep instinctual virtue. And not only could we not see it about ourselves, but that's why Moshe was so incredulous. When Hashem dispatched Moshe at the snare, Hashem says, redeem the Jewish people. He says, what do you mean? They're not going to listen. They're not interested. They're rebellious. Moshe couldn't see it either. And that's why Hashem's response to him was, well, you know how I'll prove to you that I'll take them out? Because when they leave Egypt, they'll come back to this mountain of the Sneb, which will then become Har Sinai, and they'll receive the Torah. How is that proving anything, that they'll receive the Torah? So for the Sfas Emes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is claiming to Moshe, well, the fact that they'll receive the Torah when all these external pressures are alleviated shows that essentially they're good and virtuous and noble and pure, even now, whether it's being held back by their circumstances and the environment. But once those barriers are removed, that receive the Torah. And this is why, according to the Sfas MS, Machshava Tova Kodesh Baruch Hu Mitzdar for the Maisa, based on the Gemara, that when a Jew has a Machshava Tova, Ribbono Shlom considers it as if it was fulfilled, because that's a reflection of their true essence. And Machshava Ra Kodesh Baruch Hu Eina Mitzdar for the Maisa Gemara and Sota. Different Gemara and Sota. But a Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't register a Machshava Ra, at least for Jews, until it is expressed, until it becomes so deeply ingrained that it manifests itself in action. Because typically, as the Gemara and Sota says, anytime we've seen it, it's just a rachshtus, a temporary insanity that's taken us over. So that two-word phrase, Vayeda Elokim, which we recite in the Haggadah because of the general pasuk, Vayara Elokim is b'nei Yisrael Vayeda Elokim, which is a pasuk in Shmos that Hashem saw and He knew, which the Haggadah uses to explain Vayara Sanyenu and Kisavo, that Hashem saw our suffering, which meant the disruption of our marital lives. That pasuk in Shmos, the Sfas Emes sees in those last two words, Vayeda Elokim, Hashem knows us better than we know ourselves, and He knew that we had a Retzon Pnimi to be closer Betruva, as He writes, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're just being held back, and He knew something, not just that others didn't know about us, but we didn't even know about ourselves. So again, this is just the tip of the tip of the tip of the tip of the iceberg for just keeping our shiurim and our routine consistent.